Hi, and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with...
Dan.
Me.
No, Chris is missing presumed après-ski. So, I dread to think what that party was like.
Break a leg, blood.
Now that's what you say to actors. See us, you say, come back safe.
No. Yeah. don't break a leg. Knowing flood, it's probably broken somebody else's leg. We've got news, which is, again, why we're here. We're good at doing that.
We are.
Getting news and being here. Shall we start with 2017, even though it's a year off? No tokens.
Which sounds good to me.
Sounds good to me. They've got the engine cap now, you know, so teams aren't going to be charging ridiculous prices to individual teams for money. Manufacturers aren't going to charge ridiculous prices to teams. So it should be up to the manufacturer how much money it wants to spend then, shouldn't it?
So presumably the whole F1 world is in agreement with us that this is a good thing.
Well, you'd think. Adrian Newey.
Someone who prefers cars to be aerodynamic rather than engine-y. Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, I've just swallowed some coffee the wrong way around. I'll live. He is basically claiming that it will push prices up and make everything more expensive. I don't know where he's coming from on this.
Yeah, because wouldn't it be awful if a few years ago that instead of having an engine arms race, you had an aerodynamic arms race where he got paid lots and lots of money to design cars?
That would be terrible.
Utterly silly. Let me find the quote. Engine restriction removal will mean no competition. So I think
none at all.
None at all. I think basically what he's saying...
Everybody wins!
I think basically what he's saying is, whichever team he's working for, if they've got a good engine, will have the best car and there'll be no competition because he will just design the best car around it.
I would imagine that's the only way it can be interpreted.
Yeah. He also said it will lead to a spending frenzy and mean the gaps between teams will be bigger and not smaller.
The spending frenzy was, of course, why they tried to limit the costs in the first place.
Yeah.
But again, that's to protect the smaller teams, isn't it? That was protect Manor and HRT.
Your Manor
and your
Falls Indias. Yeah.
So if everyone's in agreement that you can only charge it at 15 million for your engine, is it 15 million?
I think that's this week. That's this week's number.
Yeah. No, I realise it's still a lot of money, but what's 30? That's literally half as much. But
buy one, get one free.
Yeah. So if the smaller teams have agreed and they think that 15 million an engine is workable for them, then it doesn't matter how much Renault, Ferrari, Honda and Mercedes pour into it because they can't put the prices of their engines up.
But what it means is a further engine manufacturer would have to have quite a big pot of money to join the sport.
Yeah, but I think they're always going to have to, aren't they? Because it's always going to be a major car manufacturer. I don't think, as much as he'd still like to think it, Dave Richards is not going to make his own engine.
I think the days of your Gary Hart are well and truly over.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because he did make some good engines.
And he was going to stick Morph in the car, wasn't he?
That was Tony Hart.
Oh, sorry.
That would have been funny. If it hadn't have not been funny.
Morph would have been the first black driver before Hamilton.
Can you hear that noise? It's our listening figures plummeting.
No.
Morph would have been the first driver with a speech impediment.
When you put it that way, yeah.
Pastor Maldonado?
No, he didn't have a speech impediment. He only had one sentence.
Sorry.
We will always push. We will try as hard as we can. I only asked if you wanted two sugars with your tea. coming off that tangent, another thing that Newey said is describing the notion that performance would equalise under the new cost-cutting measures as quaint. I've got to say, Adrian Newey says a lot of right things and does a lot of right things, but I think he's missed this one.
I think it's comments that are in line with his interests.
Yeah.
But when someone of the stature of Adrian Newey speaks, you do have to pay attention.
Yeah.
Gravitas, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, with his track record, you can't not. But, well, yeah, it'll lead to a spending frenzy, you know, freeing up development will lead to a spending frenzy by the engine developers, and yeah, I think it will price other manufacturers out of the market, the ones that aren't in it at the moment. And under this next set of regulations, we are going to have the same four engine manufacturers supplying all the teams on the grid, and we're not going to see Cosworth, which we all know is what Bernie wants.
I don't see why. Because it's not like Ford haven't got the money to do it. You know, you talk about one of the biggest car manufacturers in the world.
Yeah, but all their spare cash is probably put to one side just when they get investigated under the emissions scandal.
Well, yeah, but you could say that about Honda and Renault and Mercedes, probably.
Well, Renault are already being investigated for on the emissions thing.
Yeah, but so it's obviously an industry wide thing, but
everyone's lied.
Yeah. I don't think it'll go as serious as VW or anyone else. I think it's probably going to be they were hit hard, so everyone else would quickly sort themselves out.
Yeah, but if it's stuff that's been going on for ages and it's only now just coming to light, management at the car companies are going to be, well, bricking it.
Yeah, like a DJ at the BBC.
Ooh,
but I don't see the problem with it. I think, you know, I think the team's be able to afford it. If any engine manufacturer is going to come in, I mean, Renault, for instance, said that it's going to cost them like $300 million a year to get back to winning ways. So, if there was just someone coming in, and that's running a team as well. So if there was just someone coming in to build engines, I don't think if someone was going to come in, it would put them off necessarily.
One thing that he has said, and this just does strike me as being a little bit of a public relations exercise, and he's been forced to say it, is it's very curious to me that we have this set of regulations where the manufacturer has to supply the same hardware to other teams, but it's under no obligation to supply the same software and therefore the same performance. Nobody's complaining about this because the customer teams can't complain because their contract doesn't allow them to. But Renault are the exception. They've always given the same power units in every sense of the word, including software, to the customer teams as their works teams. Does that sound like Red Bull kissing up to Renault?
And I'm not being funny.
A little bit.
No, but so, yeah, Renault have always given the same engines to their private teams as their works team. Isn't this the first year for fucking ages we've had a Renault team?
Well, apart from that,
all the way through the Red Bull dominance era, there was no Renault, was there?
No.
Yeah, so wasn't 2009 was Renault's last year.
Yeah.
So all the way through Red Bull's victories, they didn't have someone else there. You know, they didn't have their own team to give preferential treatment for. So I mean, the other thing is as well, surely if the software is that important, you know, it surely can't be Mercedes that can only build good software to run their engines. You'd imagine the teams could build like bespoke software.
Well, you'd have to think with the teams selling use of the engine, or with the manufacturer selling use of the engine onto other teams, they would have to open up the ability to develop the software to run them if they're not going to provide the software to the customers.
Yeah, but there are just going to be light versions, like Mercedes light.
There's going to be ways that they can make sure one particular piece of software runs better on it than anything that isn't the official team software.
I think that's called going full Apple.
I was going to say it's called doing a Microsoft.
I had
Windows isn't done until Lotus won't run.
I had an AMD processor and an NVIDIA graphics card on my computer not so long ago. And the drivers, or the software for NVIDIA, which like sets all the graphics settings to what it says is going to be optimal, like crashed more times than Maldonado with an AMD processor in it.
So basically, software developers wanted for teams must be good at reverse engineering.
Yeah.
Thought as much. Talking of reverse engineering, are certain things coming out of certain back ends? Anthony Hamilton has cropped up again. Now that him and Lewis are best of friends and on speaking terms again, and It's all one big family loving. And he said Lewis will dominate for the next 10 years. Lee, you, if you're not choking to death, you made a very interesting point before we started recording about Lewis has won two world championships on the trot. He's going to dominate for the next 10 years.
Fernando Alonso won two world championships. He was going to dominate for 10 years. On the fourth world championship for Vettel, Vettel was going to dominate for 10 years. He's ruined. he's cursed him.
Commentator's curse, or... Do we actually know if Anthony Hamilton's managing anyone else at the moment? Because he keeps cropping up and...
What, you think maybe he started managing Rosberg?
Oh, that would explain everything.
Imagine it.
Oh. Yeah, Lewis is going to dominate for the next 10 years. How can you be sure? That's the length of the contract that Nico's just signed.
They're silly, empty comments, though, aren't they? I mean, you know, you can't guarantee success over two consecutive years, let alone 10.
But a father thinks his son's going to do well. Yeah. Shock.
Never known that happen before. All I can say in this is we'll just get all Tolkien on, and it's one ring piece to rule them all. I'll get me cut. Now we had the Renault launch last week, or the Renault Sport F1.
Yes, the launch of the team, and their official name is Renault Sport.
Yes, where they launched a car that isn't going to look like what's going to race.
Doesn't seem to be this year's car.
Yep.
They launched what might be this year's drivers.
But they didn't mention them by name, they just wheeled them out and got them to lift the top. One of which they've got on loan from Mercedes, Esteban Ocon. We assume it was Kevin Magnussen that was there, or a damn good lookalike, it's just that they didn't say anything. So basically, what Renault have said is, here is what we're called, and we're going to have a car that may or may not look like this with drivers that may or may not look like these. Was that a little bit overhyped?
I don't see the point in it. I don't. Yeah, everyone knew that Renault had bought that team. They knew it was going to be rebranded Renault Sport. I just think it.
Well, we didn't know if it was going to be Renault Sport or Renault Group. But so wow, that made a big difference.
I don't understand why, if they got all the ducks in a row and had the car liveried up like it's going to be for Is this going to be used as the for the test?
I believe I read somewhere that it was a 2015 car that they painted in different colours.
But I think that livery is going to be used for the test.
The testing in black livery, then they're going to have another launch where they launch the actual livery.
Oh, right, so they're just doubling up on the press time.
Then. And maybe confirm that the people who were stood by the car are going to be the drivers.
Yeah.
I think the only time I actually saw anyone that is going to be coming close to getting behind the wheel mentioned by name was Carmen Jordan.
I they were all interviewed, weren't they? But I didn't see the interviews. It wasn't on that programme.
No, they live streamed the launch and then shuffled everyone off to have private interviews with journalists and didn't stream any of it.
But it's that launch. For me, when I was sat watching it, is kind of the epitome of what's wrong with Formula One, because you had a car which wasn't representative of what their car is going to look like. It wasn't explained that, you know, for the general public that wasn't where it was going to be, to the point where there was loads of conjecture and like just saying, oh, is it the livery? Isn't it the livery? Then you had five businessmen sat there boring you for 20 minutes. When realistically, all you want to do is hear the drivers lie about how good the car's going to be.
And they also kind of, sort of, announced that they got a new driver, only didn't.
Yeah. It was just, I don't know.
I think that launch says everything that was wrong. That's wrong with Formula One fans as well, just in the fact that me and Lee, neither of us were actually at work. We were sat at home watching a live stream on a computer of four people moving a sheet.
I know. We got quite excited about it as well.
Yeah,
and then turned over from the World Bedmaking Championships to watch the Formula One launch.
I could have gone to work and actually done something proper that day, and I didn't.
You could have gone to work and lifted up some dust sheets.
Could have done.
So, right, next time you finish the decorating job and you're uncovering the sofa, can you live stream it and we'll put it on our website?
I will do my very best.
This is a sofa. It may not look like this by the end of the year, but this is how the sofa looks at the moment.
It's a 2015 spec sofa, but it's in 2016's livery.
So, we still know about as much about Renault as we did before the launch. That the team is going to have Renault in the name, and we haven't got a clue what the car's going to look like, and Kevin Magnussen is taking Pastor's seat, and Julian Palmer is buying his seat.
I think Magnussen must be buying his seat to a certain extent as well. He must be bringing something in.
You would have thought so.
Yeah.
Although he appears to have been the best one available. Oh, should he go for Paul de Resta?
Johnny Verne.
Ferrari on him still.
Yeah, but I'm sure Ferrari would allow him to drive for another team. They obviously don't want him. You know, he's.
It could be that Jean-Éric Vergne doesn't want to drive for Renault.
It could be. I just don't think they asked. I don't think he had the backing for it. But you say saying that, I'd have took Paul de Resta over Kevin Magnussen, I think.
As an experienced driver, given that you've got
no one with any experience next to him.
Yeah, you've got somebody who occasionally got out on a Friday morning. And even if it was only for a year, get him in as a team leader.
By all means, sign Kevin Magnussen as your development driver. Yeah.
Unless, of course, McLaren paid him an absolute fortune and he's just given that money to Renault. If they paid him off.
No, because that was the end of his contract, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think...
Unless McLaren gave him an absolutely massive birthday present. As well as an email.
Possibly.
So cake then.
Yeah. No, you're never going to get a cake past Billy, are you?
Maybe it was the promise of cake, but the cake was a lie.
Ooh.
That's opened up a hole of the portal. I'll stop now. While we're on the subject of Renault, Carlos Ghosn, who is head of Renault Sports rather than head of the Renault F1 team, because that's Eric Withertail. I think it.
Avectail.
He said that he won't interfere with the driver lineup, but they wouldn't turn down Alonso.
In the same way that Lee wouldn't turn down Carmen Jorda.
Could we see Alonso going back? Because even in the last week, is Alonso going to take a sabbatical or leave McLaren story has been cropping up again and again if testing's bad.
Well, I'm just putting this out there, but I'm going to start decorating somebody's house on Thursday, and I'm not averse to the idea of Alonso coming and helping me.
I mean, if the contracts can be sorted
you
wouldn't turn them down.
Yeah, if we can come to something, some sort of reasonable, because obviously he's not a tradesman, so he can't be on a full wage.
That is true. And obviously, if there's any sort of paint gets splashed on the wrong wall, then he wasn't part of it.
Yeah, of course.
So taking these two things side by side, because I forgot to write that down and mention it during the running order that the Alonso. Might not do the whole season thing again. Do we think that's got any credence? And do you think 2017 will be seeing Alonso back with Renault?
No, I don't think so. I think that was just something. How can we remind people that we've won world championships? And it's we can mention Alonso because Alonso's won world championships for us.
Or the interviewer might have just asked the question.
Yeah, it was a lead thing.
Suddenly it's a story.
It's been misconstrued and turned into a story. How can Renault convince people that they used to be able to win world championships? Well, Alain Prost. Oh, hang on. No, he said he's not going to be team principal either.
But he might go to Channel
4. But he might go to Channel 4. That could be interesting.
Though I think, hasn't he done little bits of commentary with the BBC?
He's been like special guest pundit on features, but I think the way he's talking about Channel 4 is in what can only be described as the EJ role.
Well, I see. No, because EJ's lined up for Top Gear now, isn't he?
Yeah, so we could be EJ free. this coming season.
Sounds good to me.
Oh dear, this cough's getting worse. Yeah, so Prost as technical pundit, or maybe even not even the full EJ, but the what Gary Anderson used to do.
See, I like Alan Prost, but I mean, as far if you're looking for someone for TV, he's got all the charisma of like a dirty dishcloth, hasn't he?
It'd be like having Mark Blundell on your team.
No, it'd be like having Mark Blundell on your team if you gave him ketamine.
There is nothing wrong with F1's favourite bank manager. I do know more exciting accountants. Hi, Steve, if you're listening.
But do we think that's going to happen, or do we think it's more likely that he will eventually be like bled into Renault in some sort of role?
Well, he's...
I think he's probably going to stick with Edams.
Yeah.
Making cheese. Edams, of course, being the Formula E team, which is another part of Renault Sport.
Mm-hmm.
Had a fantastic race on Saturday where Sebastian Buemi got from last place to second.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Who won?
Sam Bird.
Oh, well done, Sam. I like Sam Bird.
Yeah, there's a name that should crop up more with Formula One seat vacancies as well.
Oh, he's too old now, isn't he, really? You know, he's past that window of getting into Formula One.
Was he about 25, 26?
Yeah, 12, I think.
Oh, right, okay.
but no, it's a shame when you think... you see this so often, don't you, with drivers where people mention their names a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they get themselves into a development role or something like that, and they're just in a simulator for 5 years, and that's it. You know, it's a shame.
Well, yeah. Well, you said before, wasn't it? Gary Paffett?
Yep.
Back at Williams. This is going to be his second or his third stint there?
I don't know. He seems to just flip-flop between them and McLaren, doesn't he?
Yeah. He must be a great simulator driver.
Yeah, I could be a good simulator driver.
You played on project cars?
Yeah. With the assist off and a wheel.
Yeah, yeah. And the massive telly.
I'm basically a Grand Prix driver.
So, Lee is available places. And would not turn down a drive. Well, probably if the contracts could be sorted out, would not turn down a drive with.
I could leave Alonso on the job, you see, and I could go off and race.
Yeah, I mean, he qualified for a super license. He's over 18, although we're not sure if his IQ is. Red Dwarf jokes can't beat him. How long before you actually go the whole hog and you get yourself a racing seat to attach your steering wheel to?
Probably about 3 weeks after my Oculus Rift turns up.
Right, okay. And then the weights and pulley systems on the neck where, you know, it's linked to servos.
No, I'm really lazy just sitting up, mate. Like, that's a strain.
Oh, right, okay. You're not going to go all like, we're not going to turn up here one time and it's actually going to look like the McLaren Technology Centre.
Either that or you'll turn up one day with all the leads and pulleys. It's all going to bit hookers on me.
You worry me at times. Usually when you say something. Shall we talk about Sauber instead?
We can.
They've done something unanonymous. Well, we think they have. The pass the crash test. Which
is always a handy thing to do before the season starts.
Before testing, so they won't have to run last season's car in there. I think that, are they taking part in the first test or not? Because they seem to have been a little bit vague on it. Or are they running the 2015 car in the first test?
It might be running the 2015 car.
If I remember right, yes, they'd said they all along the plan had been to run the 2015 car in the first test. Which doesn't seem all that sensible to me.
If they're trying out individual 2016 bits, there's no massive changes. But
yeah, it's because someone said Selby can be whatever you want to be, so they want to be Force India.
Yeah, but we notice Force India cars. We don't notice Sauber.
We'll notice Selbykov starts running fifth.
Oh, that's true. only at certain points.
Yeah, with Nico Hülkenberg in it.
Yeah. God help us all. Yeah, well, no, because we'll just see the rundown on the screen. The first, second, third, fourth, sixth. Is there anyone in fifth? Who cares?
It's a blind spot.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is start a campaign to get Samba on TV. It's actually we could do that one to replace the Pasta Disaster Predictor. Samba or Manor, most TV time.
That's
I thought we were trying to work out a game which was easy for people to follow, not so they had to sit there with a fucking stopwatch.
Well, no, because you'll only see one of them once during the race, and that'll be it. So as soon as you've seen a Sauber or a Manor...
But you won't. You'll see them all at the beginning.
Well, I don't know, I've got a blind spot on the ground. Yeah, if anyone's got any ideas what to do to replace the Pasta Disaster Predictor, please let us know, because we're getting ever closer to the start of the season. We've lost one of our biggest features.
Turns out I used all my thinking biscuits on that one idea.
I knew that thinking token system was a bad idea.
It's okay, it's unfrozen in 2017.
What else do we have? Yes, possibly the most shocking thing that we have ever actually reported on. Flavio Briatore, respectful silence here, has made some sense.
I'm going to be, I think a few podcasts here, anyone that's listened to us for a while, I've always had a good word to say about Flavio. I quite like the guy.
He's a character.
Yeah.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, he's a unique individual.
Mm-hmm.
Spouts a load of unholy bollocks, usually.
Well, yeah. He does, but it's... He's like Bernie in a way. He's
very
always,
like Bernie.
There's always an angle for it, isn't there? And I think, you know, he's not stupid. And at least his bollocks comes across as being bollocks. Whereas Bernie's bollocks comes off across as Alzheimer's.
Yeah, Flavio, you're talking bollocks, you've been in the sun too long.
Yeah.
Do you want to find that interview?
No, because the iPad ran out of battery.
Do you want to tell us what he said then? Because you were the one that discovered this.
Yeah, basically, and I can't say it verbatim because I've forgotten it. I've got a bad brain fart.
We can edit this, can't we?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we can
pause it.
We can always edit. So we did edit that.
Magic.
It's just as well you weren't around for the long pause. But basically, Dan, you can say it in the most cynical sounding of accents.
I am not going to attempt an Italian accent.
We need Flood. You said you'll be in Flood tonight.
Yeah, but not to that extent. But yes, Flavio Briatore has described current state of F1 as PlayStation for engineers. He says that people are forgetting the fans, forgetting the show. And it's not sexy anymore, and there's no glamour.
Missing the gladiator factor.
Yes.
And he's got a point.
He is. I also don't think there's ever been a sentence Flavio Briatore has said where he hasn't included the word sexy. He seems like the sort of person that uses that word an awful lot.
Yeah. Disturbingly so.
But I agree with him. I totally agree with him.
The thing is, though, he wasn't actually discussing F1 when he made these comments in his interview, because he was plugging the first of his new restaurant chain, Billionaire Mansion.
Yeah, sounds nice.
Which is opening in Dubai, of course.
I take it that's a reasonably priced fast food joint.
Yeah, can you get a cheeseburger and chips there?
If by cheeseburger... You mean sliced sashimi tuna roll and Albemarle roll made from salmon and flying fish, then...
That sounds like it doesn't even get served on a plate.
You can go in and choose your own whale.
Oh dear, it gets served on a range of tasting spoons.
A tasting spoon?
Oh, it's alright, there's something else here that's served on a leaf.
Where's the gladiator factor in that?
But what do we think? I mean, I thought the thing he said about if you touch the white lines, you're punished. If you don't have the right engine, you're punished. You know, he's obviously like referring to the rules. You know, for just general on-track action by saying the white lines.
Yes, but several years ago, if you touched the white lines, you were punished with death.
Well, yes, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, I mean, there is one thing I can pull him up on when he says it's PlayStation for engineers, because when you're playing a racing game on the PlayStation, you sometimes get bored and cause a crash. Now, I'm not saying... You two have come very quiet.
I am. He organised a crash for his team so Alonso could win a race. Is that what we're trying to get at?
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
but I think he raised some good points. I think Dan was right when we were talking earlier, and he might be trying to wangle his way in as a...
You know, I think he's after Bernie's job.
If he's not after Bernie's job...
Same as Max's.
He wants his way in, doesn't he, I think? You know, if it's not Bernie's job, he wants to be very much in the ear of the new Bernie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, don't know who's going to decide on who will replace, but...
I would imagine Bernie would. I think it'll be Christian Horner.
I don't think Bernie's ever going to retire.
He'll write it in his own blood, like on the floor as he's dying.
I don't think Bernie's ever going to die.
Don't know. There's been a lot of people die this year, a lot of celebrities. Fingers crossed. Oh!
That no more die is what you were going to finish that sentence with.
I'm sure that's exactly what
yes,
they meant.
Yes, it was. Course, it course. Was, wasn't it? With your foot.
Of course. I don't understand how you could think about anything else.
No, and that's how we're going to carry on thinking. But it's an interesting thought that is Bernie going to be the one to decide who will replace him? And is there's been no word coming from Bernie about who will follow him as running Formula One management? Does that mean he doesn't think there's anyone fit to replace him at the moment, and that's why he's carrying on doing that? So does that leave Christian Horner out of the equation?
No.
Because if Bernie had decided he was going to be his heir apparent, surely he would have said something now, and moves would be being put in place to shunt him up the power train.
I don't think Bernie Eccleston is going to retire. I don't think he's the kind of person who will say, oh, I've earned myself a bit of money. I think I'll sit back and relax for a while.
How old is he? 80 something?
80, yeah.
86 or something ridiculous?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah. If you haven't retired before you're 86, then chances are you're just going to keep going until you die.
I would say so, yeah.
He's
going to see no need to appoint an heir apparent.
No, let's face it. He doesn't have. Christian Horner shadowing him at like interviews, meetings and stuff for no reason. You know, the amount of even stuff that Christian Horner has got no real involvement in, and you see, you know, you get the pictures through the glass of the little board meetings and stuff. And he's always sat there at Eccleston's side during these meetings. So he's the only person, unless there's somebody else that none of us have ever heard of. I think if you look at all the faces, the top three that we were just talking about would be Max Mosley, Flavio Briatore, and Christian Horner.
Christian Horner being the only one out of those three that hasn't managed to piss
to
every team off.
You know, in some way.
Yet.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I suppose he married Jerry Halliwell. But, he seems like the ideal candidate for me. I think he's young enough to do it as well, because the last thing you want is to get somebody else in that's like 5 years younger than Bernie.
Get Horner in, and then he'll be running it right up to the point where it's zero-G rocket cars.
Yeah, I'm in. Get him in now. I'll kill Bernie myself.
You know, we'll be talking about Honda's latest warp drive. You know, why does it suck? Why does it only do 0.8 of light speed and not 0.9?
Oh, even the zero-G suits will need zero-G suits to stay together. Gnarly.
Oh, you're going all Red Bull. You're going all Red Bull.
I'm fine. I don't care. I'll be whatever you want for that.
But meanwhile, back in the real world, McLaren are actually looking fast.
Apparently so.
Well, we don't know if they're looking fast, but...
They're sounding fast.
The teams are talking like they're scared. And if you look at the odds that the bookies have got, McLaren are third favourite to take the Constructors' Championship,
mm-hmm.
which, given their performance last year, is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, unless something's like coming out within Formula One that we all don't know about, how do you go from having the worst season in your team's history to all of a sudden the bookies going, actually, they've got half a chance at the Constructors next year?
Is it just based on what Honda have said about all the time they spent over Christmas developing? And
I don't know.
They've got the recovery system sorted and the turbo doesn't overheat anymore. And
I think they were looking like they had problems, but like they were getting a lot stronger towards the end of last year.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jensen himself said his last stint in the last Grand Prix is the most fun that he's had driving the McLaren.
Yeah, everything's relative.
Yeah, okay. There have been two sort of test sessions since the end of the season, because there was the young driver's test and the wet weather test. And, Stoffel Vandoorne was fastest in the young driver's test. And they were obviously letting him run the car at full pace and not lifting and coasting and not turning down. And that showed what the 2015 package was capable of.
Mm.
And he was second fastest, certainly in day one, of the wet tyres test last month.
I'd like to think so, but I don't know. I think there's too much 2015 technology involved there to have a real read on what's going on in 2016.
Oh, maybe the 2015 technology was that good when it worked.
Possibly.
That the 2016 stuff is going to work and be better.
There was only once, really, wasn't there? There was once that one day in Austin where they seemed reasonably competitive, wasn't it? You know, it's where they look like even a shadow of what they should have been.
Rather than shadow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is too early to tell.
But what did you say? That it's 16-1 16... for Alonso to win the world championship?
No, it was 16-1 for McLaren to take the Constructors' Championship.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked the other day, it was 25-1 for Alonso to win,
mm-hmm.
behind Vettel, Rosberg, and Hamilton. So they're putting him fourth most likely to win.
See, I mean, that's... So he's more likely than Kimi?
More likely than Kimi. Kimi was 40-1, same as Jenson Button.
Right. So I take it they were fifth and sixth, respectively.
They were fifth and sixth.
Joint fifth. Well, I mean, that's like what wasn't the after Australia like 1,000-1 for Alonso to win the world championship last year?
Yeah.
So I don't know. There just seems to be an awful lot of big talk about McLaren, and I hope it's true. I really do. I'm a bit scared.
Well, it's really unlikely that they're going to have stood still.
Yeah.
We know the engineers have been working hard. The team has been working hard to get things as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be some very red faces if there's not been a substantial move forward.
I think red face will be wrong while he's screaming at them.
Yeah. If you've got that kind of focus and you're putting that kind of energy in, and you had things that should work to start with,
mm-hmm.
and you've got data from a year's racing about how they are behaving and how real life and computer models are different,
mm-hmm.
I think you've got what you need there to make a big jump forward.
Well, as bad as this year, as bad as this year's been for McLaren, what they've learned over the course of this terrible season must be invaluable.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Even if what they've learned is 100% how not to do it.
Yeah.
Then they can take everything from that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you remember, Ferrari didn't look as bad in 2014 as McLaren did in 2015. Mm. But they didn't look good.
No.
Not at all.
Mm.
And now they look like they could genuinely be up there with Mercedes as fighting for number one.
Yeah. I think Ferrari will be awfully upset next year if they're not fighting for wins in Australia. Yeah, I think they will look at it as a failure if they're not fighting Mercedes.
Well, yeah, because I mean, if they're not fighting Mercedes in Australia, then they're not going to be able to fight Mercedes until they get back to Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is going to be the first quarter of the season practically written off.
Early at first, Vettel's going to win the first race.
You go with that as a bold prediction?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Very bold. They're even wheels on them.
Very bold before the first test.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. I'm going to lay off bold predictions until I've seen the first test results.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. There's one thing I forgot as well. Talking of comebacks, Booth and Loudon. Manor World Endurance Championship yes. team.
Mm-hmm.
It's what everyone goes to after Formula One.
Or during, if you're Hulkenberg.
Yeah.
On your... No, not doing that again.
Yeah, that joke's old now.
Yeah, it is. I'll be doing that joke on my own. That's a new one. Yeah, it looks like they've kept some rights to the Manor name with regard to racing outside of F1. And they're entering the LMP2 class this season. So, I think it's Motors TV that have got it, which you don't even have to subscribe to Sky to get. It's part of the standard package.
Yeah.
So that could be worth a watch just to see what they can do, because LMP2 apparently is a lot more open in what you can put on the car.
Yeah.
And
so faster stripes.
They're a must.
You can't put roofs on them.
No.
Right.
No. When I say it's completely open, so are the cars. my coat is getting an airing tonight, I swear. they're aiming to compete in that against the returning Bentley in 2017.
Wow.
But this is an F1 podcast, not a WEC podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Although sometimes we do admit it is an endurance test listening to us when we do the 90-minute ones. Talking of which, I don't think we've got anything more to cover.
We ought to note the passing of Patty McLaren.
Yes, widow of the late great Bruce.
Yes.
Yeah. So. Ron Dennis paid tribute to her. I'll try and find a link and put that alongside the podcast on the website.
Mm-hmm.
We hope to be back next week if there's more news.
Yeah.
If we find out where Flood's gone.
I think he's in a snowdrift somewhere.
He's either in a snowdrift or a bar.
Or in a bar, yeah.
Yeah, I know where my money is. In a bar called the Snowdrift.
As a quick note, I think there's been a couple of our lovely listeners have added me on Twitter this week.
Oh.
So if anyone wants to add me on Twitter, I'm @Lee_drummer.
That sounds about right. You don't even know you're on Twitter now.
No, I never do it.
Don't you have some numbers in it as well?
No, I don't think so.
Alright, I thought you were Leader on 100.
No.
I'm Pablo 100.
Oh, right.
I've got the 100. You can find all our Twitter handles on the website.
Yeah. But add us, give us a tweet, tell us what you think. I'd like to hear from you.
And of course, you can tweet to all of us @3legs4wheels. I nearly said another podcast that I'm part of's Twitter name then, which also starts with 3 legs. This is too confusing. But we'll see you next week.
Bye.
All being well. Bye-bye. Bye.